tough love meets compassionate honesty.
We may be 0% politically correct, but we're 100% emotionally intentional. So here's what.
Communication.
Ta-da!
There it is.
There you go. Everybody just says, just communicate, and you're just supposed to know how to do it magically.
Yeah, and it's something that we do all the time. Like, I would say the majority of people, if not everyone, communicates in some way every single day. Whether you're texting, emailing, talking on the phone, in person, you know, checking out at Walmart, you know. You communicate with people every day. So why does it become so difficult in a relationship?
I know. A lot of times when people talk about what's wrong with my relationship, it's we don't know how to communicate properly with each other. And you get things brought up like, here's my communication style. What does that even mean?
So I'm actually not a big fan of communication style because it's learning the other person. And learning what appeals to them and it's kind of learning how to speak their language. It's not necessarily a style, because again, we all communicate, and yes, there are differences, but those are based on our personalities and our individual backgrounds. Certain words are, you know, very...
triggering.
Yeah, I do want to use that word.
I know you hate the word triggering.
I do.
I know. See, even in as far as the language you want to use as a therapist,
yes,
or that I want to use just every day, then it's communication is difficult. We're limited by language. Now, there are the whole like five love languages things, which is what? There's touch,
acts of service,
quality time, words of affirmation,
and gifts.
And although people think mine would be words of affirmation because I talk like a whole lot, I am very big on acts of service, of not just telling but showing.
That is absolutely my top love language, followed by
oh my god, no wonder we love each other so much. Okay, sorry. Dance break to love each other.
But also, like, words of affirmation are very important to me, too. But knowing, and I think it's really great to take that quiz. It's online. It's easy to take. And just knowing of that about yourself. And then you can, you know, relate that to your partner. And, you know, they can maybe adjust the way that they come at you.
Right. So you can use certain tools like this to develop a shorthand with somebody where they know how to... get inside your head a little bit more, get inside your heart a little bit more, and say things and do things that make more sense to you. Of course, you should reciprocate that for them.
Right.
Because I have been with people who are very into touch. And it's not that I don't like the other ones at all. I really love them, but it's not my main form.
Right.
And when somebody comes to me always saying things, well, I want to see their actions follow it up. So,
right.
I mean, not that gifts are bad, for sure.
Right. I mean, and I think most of us are kind of a blend of, just depending on the situation, too. And I think that's another important conversation, because once you know what your love language is, you want to stick with it. For what I see, a lot of people are just like, oh, this is my love language, and it's the only one that I'm going to respond to. Well, that's not true. Because, you know, even, you know, thoughtful gifts are nice.
Right.
For, you know, most people.
And let's face it, there might be days where I'm super hormonal or something, or in a mood where it can shift us to what the primary one is. I have fairly consistent on acts of service, but the others can shift around and my priorities can shift depending on getting older or what kind of day it is or whatever. But still, you know, even if you know these, then practical application.
Yeah. So one thing I do love is when you take the love languages quiz online, they actually, you can sign up for their newsletter or whatever, and they send you ideas for each one of the love languages in every single email that they send you.
I did not know that.
Yes. And I love that because I'll kind of peruse it every now and then, because my love language, my partner's love language is not the same. And so being able to look at that and say, oh, okay, like, what can I do for them? And it talks about love languages with kids. And it gives you ideas on, you know, how to spend quality time with kids, and what that looks like. So I think that's really helpful. And of course, their website, they have a lot of additional tools and stuff that you can use, which is awesome.
Right.
But I think beyond that, when we talk about communication, everybody, like every expert, relationship expert wants to tell you, you know, communication is so important. It's so important. But very few of them say, this is how you do it.
I know. And sometimes they'll put you through role playing exercises where you feel like a total dweeb sitting there going, I'm going to talk in my lover's voice now. Or it doesn't even have to be a romantic thing. It can be a family thing or a friend thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be an issue with communication, even with your bestest of friends that you could play Pictionary, draw a dot, and they're going to guess what it is you're saying. There's always going to be the issue of how do I say this? What do I say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do I elicit the reactions or information that I want?
Right. And so in talking about communicating to another person, you have to understand kind of what their real language is. It's not just their love language, but, you know, what kind of actual language do they respond best to?
Mm-hmm.
I know my example, and I hate to use this one because this is a really awful ex.
Oh my goodness.
But
it's a good example.
Yeah, it is. It's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. And so I was dating someone who was a teacher by trade and also had a lot of outside activities that he was involved in. And one of those was ballroom dancing. And I really had an interest in ballroom dancing. And I would continuously ask him, can you teach me a step? Can you teach me the waltz? Can you teach me this? Can you teach me that? And he never really responded well to it. And finally, mm-hmm. we sat down and we had the conversation of, what is it that I'm doing wrong here in asking you? Because I continuously ask you to help me with this. And, you know, it's not happening. And he said, you know, it's the aversion to the word teach because it felt like work for him. And so I think that's a great example of, like, sometimes we don't even know what words may be distracting us from fully communicating.
Yeah. And I think it is the thing of, like, personally, I'm not into the word trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And it can trigger. I don't know how to say it. You try and think of a different word. Like, what is this catalyst that rankles me, that irks me when I hear this word?
I have the best. Someone once told me that instead of using the word trigger, you should use reminder. Like, it reminds me. It reminds me of this. And that way, it puts it in the past because a trigger requires action. When you pull a trigger on a gun, it fires. So when you say, I'm triggered, that automatically is typically followed by a behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can look at it as being a reminder, it's in the past, it's over, and so it's a little easier to kind of digest.
I think that also sounds a little more empowering to me, too, because trigger puts the onus on something else, and I'm simply reacting as a reflex that I have no control over.
Right.
And for a while, with certain situations, it really does feel like that I have no control over how I'm going to react to something. But as soon as I grab hold and start recognizing, okay, this is a catalyst of sorts, this reminds me of something, then I can practice some different ways on my own of how I'm going to react. Except for if somebody pinches me or pokes me, I really just want to punch them in the face. I'm sorry, people I've punched in the face. I'm going to do it. It is reflexive. I try not to. And most of the time I just make the fist and they draw back like, what the fuck are you going to do? I've gotten that far, but every once in a while you're going to get smacked if you do that. So please don't pinch me or poke me.
Yeah, I actually did that to a friend of mine in middle school, I remember. Like, she came up behind me, poked me in my thighs, I turned around, punched her in the face. So, yep. I'm right there with you.
And then they say, why did you do that? You're like, because you know I hate it.
Right.
And then if they keep trying to bait me with the same behavior, then I just back off and I'm like, get out of my face. I'll hurt you.
But I think you brought up a really interesting point of reacting. And I think there's a difference between reacting and responding.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about police officers are reactors. They get on the scene. They start asking questions and trying to suss out the truth. But everyone's essentially a suspect at that point. Unless they have, you know, further information, you know, they know what the situation is. Whereas EMTs get on the site and they're immediately responding to an urgent need. Whether, you know, they're not going to put on a tourniquet for somebody who is having a heart attack. You know, they're responding to whatever the needs are of the person.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. And so there's difference between reacting and responding.
Yes. Go for response over reaction.
Yeah.
And it does make a difference what kind of language you use, because we talked about, like, there aren't just languages like French, Dutch, English, things like that. Mm-hmm. There are also languages that are specific to situations. I speak bar.
Right.
I speak theater.
Right.
We speak those kind of languages. Mm-hmm. You speak therapist.
Yes.
And the idea of the teaching thing, that just that one word is mm-hmm. what got to him.
Right.
Instead of show me.
Mm-hmm. And I think if you're really going to, like, take it down to, like, the smallest value, my example is going to McDonald's. We all speak McDonald's. We all know McDonald's menu. Like, we order our McNuggets and our McChickens and whatever. So we know that language. And that's how the person on the other end of the speaker or on the other side of the counter knows what we're ordering, because we're speaking their language. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go to McDonald's and ask for a Whopper.
McFuck, would you do that?
Exactly. So I think, yeah, that to me is, like, a very basic idea mm-hmm. of how to speak someone's language.
Right. And that's not to say you have to get overly specific with every single conversation you have with somebody.
Right.
But if you're finding that somebody gets rankled by something, it is good to try backing up, rephrasing, asking what's the problem, like you did. That's finally how you figured it out. Like, what's the deal? Why are you getting passive aggressive bitch on me?
Right.
And you figured that out. So, yeah.
Communicating about communicating.
Oh my God, this is too meta. I need more coffee. That's it. We're going to get more coffee now.
Yep.
So, stick around next time, and I'm sure we'll come up with something else to confuse the hell out of everyone. Comments, questions, knock knock jokes?
Shoot us an email, talkingmessy@gmail.com.
And that's my story.
The end.